All right, welcome to the Apex Vaulting Podcast. This is episode 116. I have a great episode for you. Today, we're going to go over how to periodize drill progressions in the pole vault. I'm going to break kind of everything down and go over what things you should do with your athletes or with your jump, depending on where you want to go and why. Because sometimes, you know, people look up drills and like, okay, this is a cool new drill. But is that the drill that's right for you? And how would you know? Before I continue, though, I just wanted to say, if you enjoy the podcast, please subscribe to the YouTube channel or subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you enjoy the episode and know someone who would also enjoy it, please share it with that friend. And if you could follow us on Instagram at The Real Apex Vaulting, we have plenty of content on there. We also have Twitter and Facebook. It's just Apex Vaulting. And if you have any comments or questions or need help with your pole vault training, please email us at apexvaulting@gmail.com. We would love to help you. So before I get into like what I would recommend and what we do at Apex for picking out the right drills to work on someone's jump, let's go over what I would say is normal procedure for how most pole vault coaches and different pole vault situations, whether it's at high school, college, or even at the club level, how they operate. I think most people normally, right? Like if you go to pole vault practice, the shortest you probably go is three lefts. You'll do some drill from three lefts, whether that's a takeoff drill, a swing up drill, whatever. Some people even just call them pop-ups. You do a couple of those and then you go back, right? Now, obviously, if you're dealing with a newer athlete, maybe they only go back to a five, but obviously the longer an athlete's been in the system or with a coach, they'll end up going back to six, seven, eight lefts, whatever the case may be. And that's basically the routine. And what you end up doing is, you know, you do those couple drills in the beginning. And when I say a couple, I'm talking about three, five of those probably max. And then you go back. And you're always just trying to kind of grip a little higher, get a little bit bigger pole. And I think a lot of times what people try to do is they try to fix the person's technique in a full jump. So as an example, let's say someone has a problem with their swing. Let's say they have a problem with their swing. They lean back when they swing. That person will do that full approach jump and the coach will just keep giving cues about the swing from that full approach. To give an analogy, you know, if any other sport, if an athlete has an issue with certain technique, let's say a basketball player does something wrong with their shot, the coach is not going to try to fix that shot while they're playing even a half court drill, like playing the game. They will do a shooting drill to work on technique, right? They break it down. They make it a little bit easier, more manageable to deal with. They're not going to do it in the middle of the game. You're not going to fix someone's shot in the middle of the game, right? And essentially when we're at full approaches and whether that's five, six, seven, you know, eight left, that's basically us trying to fix technique in a game, in the full thing. It's pretty difficult. Now, there are things that you could do to make it a little bit easier, even at full approach. So let's say you do have an athlete at five, six, seven lefts. You can have them a little bit smaller pole, a little bit easier grip, really work on the technique, let them blow through, then go up. But that being said, that's typically the routine, right? A lot of people will just do those couple three left pop-up drills, right? Whether it's a takeoff, a swing up, invert, whatever the drill is. And then they go back. And you kind of play this game all season. Like this is the routine. This is what you do. And for those people that are listening to this podcast that are athletes, have you noticed that like three quarters of the way through the season, everything starts to plateau? You know, when you're like 4+ weeks into this, 6 weeks into this, grips aren't going up, poles aren't going up, you're not jumping any higher at meets. Why? Why is this happening? Well, just like any other training, right? Whether we were talking about weight training, right? Even if we were talking about plyometric training, sprint training, you have to vary training, right? When we think about something like the rule of adaption, right? After so many sessions of something, your body adapts to the stimulus and then it plateaus and actually declines slightly. So if you don't change the stimulus, right? If you're always hammering that six left run, if you're always just trying to max out the grip, your body adapts to that process. And now that's it. You've grown as much as you're going to grow with that. Something needs to change. So it becomes stale. This routine, this drill progression that you're doing becomes stale. You can't change. And now typically what ends up happening, right? At the end of the season, I think most coaches always recommend, well, you should take a little bit of a break. Take a month off. Heck, 2 months off. Come back fresh and rejuvenated, excited to pole vault again. And listen, I don't think there's anything wrong with taking a break every once in a while. Like sometimes even like, especially if you're training really hard, you're jumping all the time, a week or two off, maybe some deload training, recovery workouts, you know, even a few days off here or there, that's great. You can kind of reset. And now your body's ready to go back into getting that stimulus and continue to adapt, right? That's great. But the problem is like this idea of like taking a month or two off and that you're going to come back better off. No, what happens is you're going to start that routine over again. And if you really think about the numbers, like I'm just going to give you some hypothetical numbers. Let's say it's me, right? So I go through this process, I'm training with coach and whatever. And I, you know, I'm jumping from a five with 13 foot grip on a, you know, 13.775, 14.170. And for my seven, I managed to get my grip up to 14 and I'm on a 14.775, maybe 80. And that's what I hit. By the end of the season, I was getting a little bit tough, you know, whatever. So now I take the month or two off, like my coach suggests. Maybe even he sends me some workouts. I don't know. Hopefully you did get some workouts and you do some kind of working out during that 2 months. But you're going to come back and guess what? Now my five, I'm not hitting that 13 foot grip right at the get, right? I'm not getting on that 13.775, 14.170. Going back to my seven, I'm not able to grip 14 right away. I'm not able to get on the 14.775, 80. So it's not going to take super long to get there typically, depending on what my training was during that month or two off. But it is going to get, it's going to take some time to get back to that number. Now, let's say, you know, as in this example, I'm a college athlete. It was just my freshman year. So I might even get back to those numbers and surpass them by mid-season indoors, right? That's great. But by junior year, because now imagine I have awesome sophomore year. I kill it. Now by the end of that year, I'm able to grip 14.6, I'm on 15.80, 85. I've now jumped, I don't know, 15.6, you know, 16 feet, whatever the case may be. I come back junior year after that 2 months off. I'll be lucky if I get back to those numbers by the end of spring. 100%. And again, maybe there's some people listening to this. I would love to get feedback. Shoot me an email. Is this something that you've experienced? Or do you completely disagree? Please let me know what you think. I would love to see. But this is what typically happens. And now you're struggling to set new PRs. Well, the thing is, how often can you really use that routine of do the couple drills and then go back to full approach? Like this is not going to work. This routine is going to become stale. I'm even going to give you an idea of this because I want to talk about this idea of like drills becoming stale. You have to think about in the micro and the macro, right? So micro is like within a practice. Macro is a season or many seasons, right? Big picture. You can be in a drill session, like, or a practice session, and you'd be doing a drill and, you know, you kind of got that drill as good as it's going to get that day. You need to now move on to the next thing that was planned for the practice session, right? So like if that was going back to your five, right? But if now you look at the macro, right, seasonally or multi-year, if freshman year, that was my routine, couple threes, go back. Sophomore year, couple threes, go back. junior year, this routine has grown stale. I am not going to get new results from the same routine. We've probably squeezed every inch we can out of this routine. So we've got to do something different. We've got to switch it up, right? Before I continue and even go into, you know, the drills, things to consider, right? It's like there's a lack of variation. If you're experiencing that in a practice session or even in a season, that things are becoming stale, you're not seeing the progress you'd like. You're not getting your grip to go up. You're not getting the pulls to go up. You're not wrapping higher bungees. You're not setting new PRs at meets. You might have a lack of variation. You need more variation to stimulate growth and development in technique, but also your physical abilities, right? That's what's going to allow you, right, to grip up, get on bigger pulls, and set new PRs. You're going to need more variation in your training. The other thing too, if you're running full approach more than once a week, highly likely, and especially like I'm speaking right now to someone who's not a new athlete, right? Like if you're a new athlete, you're doing fives and sixes, you're probably nowhere close to your potential. So you're not tapping into your central nervous system that hard. But if you're an athlete, like I'm describing, like you're in college, you've been doing this a few years, or even if you're a senior in high school and you have some pretty high grips, like if you're a high school girl and you can grip over 12 feet or over 13 feet, if you're a high school boy and you're gripping, you know, over 13, over 14 feet, right? That's taxing for your central nervous system. If you're doing a full approach more than twice a week, you're probably experiencing central nervous system fatigue. Right? This is where all of a sudden it's like what normally was an easy pull or grip, easy step, you start running through a little bit. You start getting stood up. It's getting more and more difficult for you to actually complete the jump. These are all signs that you're experiencing central nervous system fatigue. Now, when we do something that's highly taxing for the central nervous system, like a full approach, you have to remember most people in the strength and conditioning world will say you need about 72 hours recovery. 72 hours, right? So if you think about it like that, if you're doing full approach more than twice a week, first of all, even twice a week, you see that's going to be squeezed, right? That's a little bit tight. You really only want to do full approaches once a week, right? You can get away if, let's say your full approach is 7-8 less, you probably get away with doing fours and fives more than once a week, but anything past that, you only once a week. So again, if you're experiencing something like plateauing, right? Like your grips aren't going up, your pulls aren't going up, you're not wrapping higher bungees, your technique is not improving, right? You need more variation and you have to be aware and careful to avoid CNS fatigue. If you're doing full approach more than once a week, you might be experiencing central nervous system fatigue, right? Just looking at my notes, I wanted to make sure I get over everything that I intended this episode. Yeah. So now let's talk about drill selection and what options we have in the pole vault, right? Okay. Let's talk about the way you carry the pole. You could vary drills with just that. Just that can make a difference, right? You could do an overhead carry, a low carry where you keep the tip down. So you just got to like get that right hand to the shoulder and then plant, right? So you're flipping and extending, right? To eliminate the drop. Or you could do a high carry, or we sometimes just call it regular carry, where, you know, you have the tip up and you're actually going to drop the pole and then plant, right? These are the three ways you can carry the pole. Now, from one left, I highly recommend you always do overhead. I don't think you have time to plant the pole. From a two, I would not recommend doing a high carry. It's got to be a low carry. But from a three already, from three lefts, you could do all three of those variations. You could do overhead, you could do low carry, you could do high carry. You go back to a four, heck, even a five left, you could do all three of those variations. So as an example, if you were having some issues with takeoff / plant, and especially you're not sure which one it is, is my plant messing me up or am I just not jumping up at takeoff? Like, what's going on? Try an overhead carry from a three or a four. See if your takeoff feels better. If so, it might be your plant. Then once you're getting a good takeoff with overhead carry, now you could sprinkle in that low carry. Let's see if you can get the timing right with that low carry. Once that feels comfortable, now you can work on your pull drop and add the high pull carry. So remember, you from three left and on, you have the option. You can do overhead carry, low carry, or high carry. You could, this is a way to vary the drill. So now what we do off the ground, this is a way to vary the drills. You could do a takeoff drill. And at Apex, we have two variations of a takeoff drill. On Instagram, I did post a video about our takeoff bungee grab drill, where athletes will jump, right? They complete the takeoff, feel their hands above their head. They will pull themselves up and then grab for a bungee. Okay. That's one takeoff variation. Then the next one, you could do a swing to a sit where you just swing, make sure your hip gets to your bottom hand. Then the next swing variation is you swing to your chin. So you go hip, then chin, and get your top hand to your belly button or your belly button to your top hand. Then you can add the turn, land on your belly, swing to the belly. Then all these drills can be done on a more vertical component. You can swing up to your hip. You can swing up to your chin. You could obviously do full jump. Now, in between those two, like the horizontal drills and the vertical drills, like a swing up, you could do something we call jump the river. So it's more at an angle. So it's physically more challenging than the horizontal drills, but there is a little bit of a component of pulling your hips up and getting your hips to rise. And you can work on that and work on your turn by having someone set up a bungee deeper into the pit. That's maybe just a foot or two above the pit. And you can turn, you know, swing, land on your feet. These are all the variations that you can work on off the ground. And you could do this from one left, two left, three left, right? Now, obviously, you're better athletes, you know, and if I'm speaking to anybody here who's senior in high school or in college, you might not be able to do like a jump the river from a three, you know what I mean? Or a swing to the belly from a three, because you might go out the back of the pit. So you might have to limit that to ones and twos. But certainly the swing up, you know, you could do that from, you know, three, four, five lefts if you want. And so again, you can vary all these drills. And then the last thing of variation, right, is the approach. How far back on the runway are we going? You know, are you just doing a one where it's two steps into the pit, a two, a three, a four, a five, right? Or all the way back to a full approach. Keep that in mind. These are all ways to vary the drills and the practices. So especially like, you know, if you're mid-season and you're noticing you're having certain issues with whatever part of your jump, you can vary the approach. You know, like let's say normally you would do fives, but the fives for whatever reason are getting stale, right? We'll go back to this idea of getting stale. You've kind of squeezed out every grip you could from a five. You squeezed out all the pull you can squeeze out from a five. You're wrapping the highest bungee you can from a five. It's not getting any better. If you've done this for one, two, 3 weeks and there's no improvement, you can go to a four. You can go to a six. This is a way to vary it and try something different and see what happens there. And that might stimulate some more development and also help you work on technique. So you have the type of carry you're doing, that's one way to vary the drills. You have the type of drill you're doing off the ground, some kind of takeoff swing or full jump variation. And then finally, you have the approach, you know, what approach you're doing this with. So you can vary all of this. This is ways to keep practices fresh and keep development happening throughout a season, right? You want to continue that progress throughout the season. You need to vary your drills, okay? Something that we do at Apex, and this would be a tip for anybody out there, especially in the fall, we try to stay more short approaches. Like right now, I don't really have anybody going past four lefts, right? We're in September, late September right now. Nobody's going past a four yet. We're really hammering those ones, twos, threes, and fours, and different drill variations. Like I have some people doing even full jumps overhead carry from a three, because I think the plant has been getting in their way. And if they could feel what takeoff is supposed to feel like in a full jump with the overhead carry and feel what it should feel like if they had a better plant, maybe now we can start to sprinkle in that low carry and eventually a high carry, because they'll know that the takeoff doesn't feel right with their plant because their plant timing or the way they're planting. And now they can really start to work on their plant. So I would always say early season. And for those people that are listening, we're like, hey, Bronco, like I don't have access to pits in the fall. You know, I'm not going to have access to pits until indoor season or until spring. I would always say, you know, the first 2 to 4 weeks of when you have access to the pit, don't be in a rush. Start off with drills, keep things four left or in, depending on the level of the athlete, really work on some stuff and then start going back. That long run is always going to be there, right? And almost the longer you have athletes wait, the better it's going to be. Because once you let them go from those longer approaches, they're going to be excited and they're going to really hammer. So I wanted to discuss a little bit about like the way to choose the drills. Okay. Again, I talked about the micro in a practice session and the macro, right? Let's say you've identified, okay, your athlete is having trouble with the plant. And because of that, the takeoff is hindered and the swing. Okay. You might say, okay, we're going to do a 2 or 3 left approach with the low carry. And we're going to do takeoff first and then add the swing and eventually a full jump. That's the plan. You implement that at the practice. Again, in the micro, in the practice session, once you feel like that low carry takeoff is as good as you're going to get it, let's add the swing. Once the swing looks good and now you want to do full jumps, let's go to the swing. Don't let the drill get stale. Because sometimes what happens is we get a little greedy as coaches and we can get a little greedy as athletes. We want to perfect the drill the day we're doing it. You have to understand you're probably not going to perfect a drill in one practice session. So take as far as you're making improvement, right? If you're able to grip up and the pole's moving well and the technique's getting better, awesome. As soon as you're like, okay, we had 2 or 3 that were like the same or maybe even worse, let's add the next layer of the drill. So we'd add the swing and then eventually the full jump. Great. If now the second practice session, better. It got better. We've added grip. We're going up poles. We're wrapping higher bungees. Awesome. Third practice, still better. Awesome. We're going to do it again. Let's do it again. The next time we do a drill day, do it again. Fourth session, we go back. We do it again. It's still getting better. Fifth session, we get to the fifth session, plateaued. It was either the same as the fourth session or maybe even a little worse. That might be an indicator that the drill progression now that you chose, you've gotten everything you could from that drill progression in the moment. Time to change the drill progression. Maybe at this point, you know, in this scenario where the person's doing low carry, takeoff, swing, full jump from 2s and 3s, maybe it might be a good idea. We can go back to a 4 next time. We could add the high carry, okay? That might be the natural progression from that point and take that as far as you can go. That's how I would think about drill progressions, right? Is you want to try to identify the problem in your technique, pick the drill that would be easiest to work on that technique, get as much as you can from that drill progression. You might go 5, 6, 7 sessions, right? Once it gets stale, you're no longer seeing improvement, or hopefully you're not, but you don't see a decline. Now it's time to switch to drill progression. This is a good indicator that something needs to change. And just to go over too, think about it like this. If you're someone that practices 2-3 times a week, you probably want to have one day that's a drill day and then a long run day. Okay. If you have a third day, maybe you have something in between. So there's the drill day that you're going to stay 4 left or inside. You have a day where maybe you get back to a 5 and then your full approach day. Right. And, I would definitely, in the 3-day scenario, I would probably have the big day as the first day, and then day of rest, drill day of rest, medium day, you know, or you can always switch those two. Have the medium day of rest, drill day of rest, big day. You can kind of make that work either way. And also see what works for the athlete. You know, if they're better off like coming off of 2 rest days from pole vault and doing a big day, great. If instead having 3 days from the medium day and the drill day doesn't have a huge impact on them, have the big day on the third day of the week. But that's kind of how you would go through with these drills and add variation so that your practice sessions don't get stale and that your season doesn't become stale. Because I think there's nothing worse than like, you have a great preseason, you open the season with a PR, and then halfway through the season, like you're struggling to jump the same bar you did in the beginning of the season, right? You don't want to plateau and get stale that early, right? And one of the ways you can prevent that is with variation of drills, variation of approaches. So you have to know that variation is a tool that you could use to prevent people from plateauing too early in the season and getting stale. One other consideration I'll make, especially for that scenario where it's like, okay, the person PRs first meet of the season. If they did that from a shorter approach, let's say a five, awesome. If they did that from a 7, 8, or 9, my question to you is like, how long do you think you can run these 7, 8, 9 lefts before the person like gets stale? And they may not be able to go any further, right? Like there's athletes out there, especially at the high school, even the college level, that a 7 lefts is like pretty tough run. They're not quite fast enough to do an 8 or definitely not a 9. So you have to always kind of be careful. That's why sometimes I like to start a season off from a shorter approach, you know, a 4, 5, 6, even depending on the athlete, and then work our way back to a full approach. That's what I always like to do. That way, again, the full approach doesn't get stale too early in the season. And now you're kind of stuck. You know, what are you going to do then? Because once the full approach is stale, and if you really need to jump your PR to like, let's say win a meet or qualify for a meet, you're in trouble. I mean, because if you go down left, you can do that. But, you know, is the athlete capable of jumping the height that you need? You know, and that's only something, you know, the athlete and coach in that scenario can really tell. Because sometimes that might be the right move, is just go down a left, make it easier for the athlete. I know I had an athlete years ago where she was running a 7 left indoors and she was jumping 11.6 pretty consistently, but man, just 12 wasn't there. And when she finished indoors, we decided to go back to a 6 because I just felt like the 7, she was trying to manage the run too much and she wasn't just, you know, running down full speed. And so we went down to a 6 and that athlete ended up jumping 12.3 outdoors with one less left. So that's something to think about. But again, in closing, you know, just to explain, you know, the podcast and summarize, you don't want, you know, a season to go to plateau in a season and for a season to go stale. You don't want practice sessions getting stale. And one way you can avoid, you know, your season, getting stale and your results plateauing or even declining is drill variation. Use drill variation to avoid plateaus, to avoid getting stale and to avoid, your PR going down, and keep things fresh and also avoid CNS fatigue. Again, if you have any questions or comments, please email us at apexvaulting@gmail.com. And if you would like help from us, for your training, please reach out. We would love to help you. If you enjoyed this podcast, again, please subscribe, leave a comment, share it with some friends. See you next time.